Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our minds, Lord, and think through them. Take our lips, Lord, and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, as we just heard when Reverend Rebecca was talking to the little ones, across the country we'll be celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tomorrow. So to begin my homily this morning, I'd like to share some of his words, if you don't mind. Thank you. So Martin Luther King says, "Modern psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. It is the ring and cry of the modern child of psychology, and certainly we all want to avoid the maladjusted life. We all want to live a well-adjusted life in order to avoid the neurotic and schizophrenic personalities. But I must honestly say, there are some things in our nation and the world to which I am proud to be maladjusted and wish all men of goodwill would be maladjusted until the good of society is realized. I never intend to adjust myself to segregation and discrimination. I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities away from the many to give luxuries to the few, leaving millions of people smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society. I never intend to adjust myself to the madness of militarism and the self-defeating effects of physical violence. We need maladjusted people, men and women, where these problems are concerned. It may be well that our whole world is in need of the formation of a new organization, the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. Men and women who will be maladjusted, as the prophet Amos, who in the midst of injustices of his day, cried the words that echoed across the centuries. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Maladjusted is Abraham Lincoln, who had the vision to see that this nation could not survive half slave and half free. As maladjusted as the great Virginian Thomas Jefferson, who in the midst of an age amazingly adjusted to slavery could scratch words across the pages of history, words lifted to the cosmic proportions, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As maladjusted as Jesus Christ, who could say to the men and women around the Galilean hills, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. And through such maladjustment, we will be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man into the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice. I would like to challenge each of you to honor Dr. Martin Luther King this week. Let's all consider making our own lists of the social and religious concerns that we never intend to be adjusted to. Where are the points of maladjustment which you might be called to serve? You know, I've seen many here at St. Dunstan's put Dr. King's words into action. I know we have some folks here like Ann who are maladjusted to the homelessness in our society. It's why we have the Interfaith Shelter, right, coming up next month in February. I know Diane's maladjusted to the hunger among the migrants in our community. And she's every week, her nonprofit organizes a pretty significant food drive. I think it's between 60 and 80 families that are fed every week. I know those that are suffering by illness. We have a wonderful quilting ministry. They're maladjusted that they're suffering, so they want to bring some light in a time where they're feeling they're having a rough go with physical ailments or other ailments. That quilt, with your prayers, bring hope and bring light into their lives. Amen. Amen. So I challenge yourself to create your own list, and I encourage each of you to spend time in prayer. And open your hearts and listen. Listen to where the Father might be calling you to serve. Because one who decides to listen discovers the power and passion behind the call of God. One thing with prayer, there's a quote from Congregational missionary Frank Laubach. He once said, "The trouble with nearly everybody who prays is that they say amen and run away before God has a chance to reply." Guilty, guilty. Listening to God is far more important than giving him our ideas. And Mother Teresa once said, "God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer." And of course, God wants to hear us, you know, and hear what we want, but we need to take that time to listen and see where the Holy Spirit guides our hearts. So in today's reading from Paul the Corinthians, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit giving different gifts to many people. Now, these gifts that are given to us are meant to help the community and show God's love. And Paul lists several gifts, such as wisdom, knowledge, faith, and healing. But Paul's message reminds us that everyone has something valuable to contribute. No one person has all the gifts. So as a community, we need to rely on each other. When we use our gifts together, we can do great things for not only our local church, but for our entire community. And we can apply this teaching into our lives by recognizing our own gifts and the gifts of others. And we should encourage each other to use the gifts for the good for everyone. And by working together, we can honor Dr. King's legacy and honor God, so we can build a stronger and more loving community. Paul also teaches about unity and diversity in today's reading. It's very fitting as we honor Dr. King this morning. Paul explains that even though we have different gifts, they all come from one Spirit. That means that our differences should not divide us, but these differences should bring us together. The message is very important because it shows that diversity is a strength, not a weakness. And each person's unique gift is necessary for the entire church to function well. When we embrace our differences, we can create a more vibrant and effective and loving community. In our daily lives, we can practice unity and diversity by respecting and valuing each other's contributions. And we should celebrate our different talents and work together for a common goal. This will help us grow in love and unity as a community. You know, and our gifts, you know, they can be used in all areas of our lives, not necessarily just in this building, St. Dunstan's, in our local community. It can be used for the greater community as we go to work in our daily lives and how we interact with other people. We are examples that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts to share the light of Christ to a dark and dreary world. I belong to a men's group. It's been 14 years already. I can't believe it's been that long. Now, don't laugh. We are called the Geeky Guys for God. But we've grown up. You know, we've grown over the years. Now we have ladies involved, so now we're the Geeky Guys and Gals for God, which is pretty cool. I love this group of people. And we are a unique group of individuals who love all things Star Wars, Star Trek, superhero, all that fun stuff. But we love Jesus, too, which is pretty awesome. We have a monthly study. I just led one on Friday night, and we had a great time. it was actually talking about The Hobbit, but there are a lot of Christian themes through those little stories. But, I mean, we go to Comic-Con together, we partner with the Christian Comic Art Society, but, you know, our group are maladjusted to things that are happening in our community. Just little things. We noticed that during Comic-Con, and I don't want to disparage other people, but we have some religious groups out there with these big yellow signs yelling at bullhorns to people going to Comic-Con, saying negative things to them about their likelihood of eternity, I guess. And we wanted to say, that doesn't represent Christianity. So what do the geeky guys do? We get bins and bins and bins of bottle of cold water and hand them out to people that are waiting in line to many things. And people just can't believe it. What's the catch? There's no catch. Here's a bottle of water. We love you. God loves you. Need prayer? Come and see us. But that's it. Simple acts. Simple acts. Some of them like to dress, do the cosplay stuff, which I don't. But they'll go to the Ronald McDonald House where kids are suffering, you know, with illness. And seeing Spider-Man really lifts up their spirits. Or seeing a Jedi Knight uplifts their spirits. But isn't that showing God's love to the community? There are many things that they do. Even us geeky guys and geeky gals can use our geekiness to share Christ's love and others in the community. But take your gifts and make them your own and use them, like I said, in our daily lives. Today's gospel from John tells the story of the wedding at Cana. And Jesus performs his first miracle by turning water into wine. No, this miracle shows Jesus' power and care for others. And Jesus' action also symbolizes how he can transform our lives. Just as he changed water into wine, he can change our hearts. And through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, he can make us new. How often in our own lives do we feel like we're completely drained or empty? We feel tired. We can feel anxious, angry, sometimes fearful. It's those times that we need to invite Christ into our lives. And today's gospel reminds us that through Christ, we can be made whole when we're broken. All things are possible with God. And the wedding at Cana encourages us to trust in Jesus' ability to help and guide us. We just need to invite him. We just need to invite him into our hearts. And he will fill our emptiness with unconditional love. By trusting in his power, we can experience positive change and become better followers of Christ, using our gifts that God gave us in the service of other people. Dr. Martin Luther King was once quoted, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." This week, let's spend some time with Christ. Let's pray. Let's listen. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us and give us strength to respond to God's call. Again, let's honor Dr. Martin Luther King by making our own list of the social and religious concerns that we never intend to be adjusted to. Where are the points of maladjustment which we might be called to serve? What gifts of the Holy Spirit do you recognize in yourself? How can you use your gifts to help others in our community as a whole and here at St. Dunstan's? And how can you trust Jesus to help you with these changes and put your faith into action? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts you entrusted to each of us. Thank you for the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Guide the people of St. Dunstan's to use these gifts wisely and generously in the service of others, bringing your love and light to this dark world. Amen.